Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Thursday, August 15th. The New Testament refers to the church as the body of Christ. That makes it much more than just a Sunday morning meeting. Today's podcast helps you get a better understanding of your role in God's family.
Many professing Christians say that they don't really and truly need to be a part of a church because they can live their Christian life fine without a church. In fact, they will even tell you that there are churches that have conflict with each other, which we understand. They'll say that there are many people in the churches who have conflict with one another. And they'll even tell you that they know some people who are professing Christians, and what they say is not the way they live. Now, we would not deny any of that, that all of those things are true. And I do understand why people sometimes on the outside look in and say, well, you know what, I think I can do just as well without you all. Well, I can understand why you would say that, but what you have to ask is this. What is the opinion of Almighty God about His church? So the question is this. What is God's purpose for saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? That is, we are to assemble ourselves together. We are to worship as a body. Well, look at what the church does, for example. The first thing we are to do, and that is we meet together and we worship. We sing and we praise the Lord and give Him thanks for the good things that He's done for us. We pray and recall His blessings in our life, make our request. We give of our finances in obedience to Him. And what do? We fellowship with each other. A second thing is this. He wanted us to assemble together because He wants us to have instruction in the Word of God. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a moment and look at this passage. 2 Timothy 2, in Paul's writing to young Timothy and giving him some instruction, he says in this 15th verse of 2 Timothy 2, listen, he says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Let me ask you a question. Without any biblical instruction in your life, how much truth would you know? If it was just left up to you to read the Bible and figure it out. Now, you say, well, does that mean that we can't study the Word of God without having a pastor? No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying this, that the Word of God says that we're responsible for reading and studying and praying of the Scripture and interpreting it properly. Now, here's what gets people in trouble. What gets people in trouble is they find them a passage they like, and so they go after that one. They say, well, here's what I believe. Well, see, that's the way denominations start, and that's the way groups start and cults start. And people, they pick and choose. This is the only way to properly, honestly, genuinely interpret the Word of God. Are you listening? Say amen. And that is, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Not Scripture with my opinion, not Scripture with what I want, not Scripture with what I don't like, but what, in other words, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. And so God has given us His Word, and He's called men and women to honestly and genuinely, rightly interpret the Word of God. Does that mean that we will always agree? One of the wonderful things about the Scripture is this. You'll never exhaust it. You can study for 1,000 years and God still be talking. When the body of Christ meets together, we meet together to be instructed in the truth of God's Word. That's one of our reasons for getting together. That's one of the reasons that He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, and will turn away their ears from the truth. Because listen, Satan has his message, drawing people away from God and away from God's purpose and plan and will for their life. And so one of the primary purposes we meet together is for instruction in the truth. What does the Word of God say? When it comes to the purpose of the church, it's not only worship and instruction, it's doing something you cannot do alone. Think about this. The Great Commission involves all of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you are willing to leave home and go to China, Germany, Russia, Brazil, or Asia somewhere? How many of you could do that? I don't have any takers. You know why? Because He never intended we do it alone, but together. So He doesn't send us all to different parts of the world. He's given us the commission to evangelize the world. We cannot do that singularly. We do it together. And so did Jesus make a mistake when he said, I'm establishing the church? No, he did not. Now, one of the primary reasons he established the church is this passage of Scripture that I want us to think about here for a moment. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 again, if you will, and look at this third verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Now watch this. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. What's the purpose of the church? To protect us. To protect us from being what? From being swayed and pulled away from Almighty God Himself. Because here's what I watched. And any pastor will tell you this. When people who are Christians and church members, for example, when they stop coming to church, before long, when you go looking for them, here's what you find. They not only have drifted away from church, they drift away from God. And I remember what a young lady said to me. She said, I just want to thank you that every Sunday I come, she was single at that time, every Sunday I come to church, you hold me accountable. Well, I never even thought about holding her accountable, but what she was saying is this. When you present the Word of God, I'm confronted with the truth. I go back into the business world to live out my life and to do what God has called me to do. And every Sunday, when I come to church, I hear the truth that holds me accountable to a high standard, morally, ethically, and every way. When you depart from the body of Christ, when you depart from your fellowship, the church that you belong to, you're going to depart from God. You say, well, if I'm saved, I can't depart from him, but in your fellowship with him. When you stray away from the instruction of the Word of God, from being held accountable, worshiping Him, being a part of the work around the world, when you leave all of that, naturally, you're going to do what? You're just going to drift right out into sin. And that's how many people who at one time in their life were effective for the Lord, no longer effective. They thought, well, they didn't need the church anymore. They could do it on their own. You can't do it on your own. And that's why he said, I will establish my church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. And you see, all through the New Testament, we see Paul admonishing, and Peter, and James, and John, all admonishing truth. Because it's the truth that keeps us straight. I would say to anybody, you close the Word of God for a week, don't read the Bible for a week. Don't pray for a week, and then tell me what your attitude is. He said, oh, that wouldn't affect me a bit. Try it. No, don't try it. Because, listen, think about all the sounds you hear, all the ideas you hear, all the temptations, all the things that are just bombarding you continually day after day after day. Sitting and watching television, listening to the radio, the kind of music and the kind of programs, wham, 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 into your mind every single day. What is it that keeps you straight? It's this relationship. In other words, God created the church, not only for instruction and worship and evangelizing the world, but also for our protection. We need one another. And I can say to you, my friend, if you do not go to church, if you have no relationship to a church, you need to be in a body of believers with whom you agree that you believe that are consistent with the Word of God for your own protection. When I think about parents who never take their children to Sunday school or Bible school, and they don't open the Word of God, they don't teach their children, they just expect that. Let me ask you a question, parent. If you don't teach your children the Word of God, who's going to teach them? They're not going to learn it in school. They're going to learn the opposite in school or in college. By that time, it's all over. If you don't teach them, who's going to teach them? We have Sunday school, and people sort of say, well, that Sunday school is just for adults. I don't think so. It is for adults, but it's for children. That's where they first begin to learn who God is. They come into a church building that's pleasant for them. And there are people there who love them as children, who are kind to them as children. They get their glimpse of what God is like. And oftentimes they come from homes in which there is nothing godly in that home. I would just ask you as a parent, how do you think your children are going to learn to love God and to love His Word and to find His will for their life and to walk in it if you don't tell them. You say, well, I don't know what to tell them. Then you'd get yourself in a church somewhere where somebody, for your children's sake, your children are out in society. They're in danger just being there. They need faith in their life very early. You have a responsibility. And the church, God placed the church here in order to meet specific needs and to accomplish specific work throughout the kingdom of God and throughout the world. There are millions and millions and millions of Christians in churches around the world. And no matter what somebody tells you, the church is growing today. It is growing. You may live in a community and say, well, a couple of these churches, they about died out. There may be, but I'm telling you this. There are many churches that are growing up in storefronts and old theaters and you name it because God is at work. God is at work in this nation. He's at work in other nations. Somebody's doing something. And they're meeting together. It isn't single individuals. You and I can only do so much. And that's why He said, I will establish My church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then what about this whole idea of your spiritual gifts? He's given some the gift of organization. He's given some the gift of exhortation, some mercy, and some giving, and some prophecy. He doesn't give us those gifts just to exercise on ourselves. For example, my gift is of sort of a mixture of prophecy and exhortation. So what am I going to do? Stand in front of the mirror and talk to myself? Well, Charles, you ought to shape up. No. For example, you have the gift of organization. After you organize your house, what are you going to do? Now, I've been in some homes. I don't think anybody had the gift of organization, but that's okay. What I want you to see is this. God has given every single one of His children a spiritual gift, and it is to be exercised among the body of Christ. He's gifted you for that. Not for yourself, but to give it away, to express your gift. For example, people who've lost their loved ones, people with a gift of mercy gravitate. Why? Because they're merciful. When you're hurting and you need comforting, you want somebody like that. When your finances, for example, in disarray, you want somebody to help you organize that and get that straight. In other words, God has given every single believer a spiritual gift to be exercised in the body. You say, well, how do you know that? Because He makes it crystal clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's what He says. He makes it very, very unmistakably clear. He says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not for yourself, but for the common good. That's why we should never have to ask for people to serve the Lord in the church house. Because He's gifted us all and enough people here to do it. Then, of course, one of His primary reasons for the church is, watch this. We all need one another. Now, over 25 times in the New Testament, Paul talks about a relationship to one another. So I'm just going to read you a few of them. Listen to what he says. He says, we are to, first of all, love one another, build up each other, forgive one another, accept one another, encourage each other, serve one another, be patient with one another, kind to each other, devoted to each other, admonishing each other, comforting one another, stimulating one another, confessing to one another, fellowshipping with one another. The church is all about relationship. Our relationship to Him and our relationship to each other. Let me ask you a question. Who in your life do you know is a better Christian because of some influence, some impact that you've had in their life? Who would say, you've really helped me, you've really challenged me, you've motivated me, you've inspired me. In other words, who in your life will say to you, this is how you have affected my life spiritually? You see, selfishness is totally unchristlike. He was continually giving Himself away. And listen, when you and I are walking in the Spirit of God as a believer, what's going to happen? We are going to impact the people around us for good. I have people that have said to me, you know, the first time I ever started watching you, I didn't like you at all. Well, that just tickles me because I know you're going to get it sooner or later. But sometimes the people you may impact the most may not like you to begin with. But there's something about you. Now watch this. No preacher, no prophet, no anybody can reach everybody. But listen, it's what we do together. We meet here on Sunday, say, let's, by the time it's all over, about 6,000 of us meet together, thereabout, and you spread out all over Atlanta. And what's my goal and my prayer for you every week? My prayer for you is, God, wherever you send them this week, let them be like salt. Let them be like light. Let them be such in their business, in their home, wherever they're living and wherever they're working, let them be such that somebody else gets impacted by their life. Now, if we don't meet together, we don't have that camaraderie. Something's missing. It's the fellowship. It's that one another, loving each other and forgiving each other and motivating each other and challenging each other. That's what it's all about. Then I would just mention one last thing. Think about this. How much can any one of us do by ourselves? Not very much. I could stand down on the street corner and preach, and a few folks may stop passing by. I have done that years ago. But think about this. Our church started way back yonder. But when I became the pastor, we had four walls and auditorium, and that's it. Then I got to thinking about, Lord, how far could you, how do we get out the four walls of the church? So we had a fellowship of people like we have, and so we decided to try to get on television for 30 minutes on Sunday morning. So we started the chapel hour, 30 minutes. Well, that did pretty well, and so then we said, well, let's try an hour. So then we had 30 minutes and an hour. And then by the grace of God, opened up for us on one of the big networks to get all over the country, in a small way, but all over the country. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And now people all over the world can watch In Touch. They can hear it on the radio. And you know what? One person can't do that. It's what we as a body have done. I remember the first time we bought a camera, you thought we were buying the Empire State Building. What I want you to see is this. The impact of this fellowship, it's what we do together. Don't ever think it's what one person does. I'm only a part of this. This is not my church. This is Jesus' church. I am a pastor. I am not the pastor. It's not what I do or what one person, it's what we do as a body. And so when he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, what he was doing, he was admonishing us to be wise about how we live our life in relationship to him and our relationship to each other and the impact all of us together can have on the world. Whenever you have the Lone Ranger idea, you have a non-biblical idea. Every single one of us is equally important in the eyes of God. It's just that he gives us different relationships and different things. So when somebody says, well, I can do just as good without the church, I'm going to tell you, no, you can't. And my desire for you is that you be wise enough to realize you have a responsibility before Almighty God to assemble with other believers, to worship him and encourage each other and be instructed in the truth of the Word of God and carry out the work that God has called you to do as a member of his fellowship. And Father, how grateful we are that you take us just like we are. And we sing that song, Just As I Am, without one plea. And I pray that every single person who's listening to this message would recognize and be honest enough to recognize and admit and confess and be willing to change and find a local fellowship somewhere they can enjoy being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you, Father. And we thank you for the awesome opportunity of being a church, being a missionary outpost, not only for here, but for the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of Together in the Christian Life. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.